Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Great, let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that you are our Father. We thank you first and foremost, you want relationship with us. And Father, I thank you that you just show us as we look at your word this evening, what kind of Father you are. And the kind of relationship that you want us to have with you. And the freedom and the liberty that that brings. Yes. So Father, we thank you that you just reveal who you are into our lives as a Father tonight. We praise your awesome name. Amen. 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 Great. If you want to take a seat. God's really been speaking to us as a leadership in the church about 2014 and everything that he wants to be doing. So next Sunday night, I'm going to just take a few minutes just to share, kind of expand on what Pastor Jonathan's just been talking about in terms of the prayer, the fasting, and other things that God's saying as to why we're going to do that as a church. Because you can pray and fast, but unless God tells you to do it, it's just a good work without any power in it. And so we want to respond to what God's saying because we want to start 2014 in a way that, as a church, God wants us to. So we kind of launch into the year really focused on everything that God wants to do. So let's have a look this evening at, if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, we'll have a look there. But we're going to talk about God being our Father. And during this autumn in the life of the church, across all the congregations, we're looking at God forming us into a people of love. And for that to happen, then we need to know, well, what is God's love like? Who is he? Because he is love. What does it mean to have his love in our lives? And how do we love one another? And what does that look like expressed out through our lives to those around us that we live in our sphere of influence? As Aaron was talking about a few weeks ago when he was here, the guy from the States. And the other day when I was praying, God really just spoke to me about some of these scriptures. And so last week in Horsham and here tonight, and then in a couple of weeks over in Crawley, just going to really talk about the same thing. But God really wants to minister to people this evening.
Yes.
So you're ready to receive from God.
Come on.
Yeah. Doesn't matter what it might be that you need him to minister to, God's well able to do that. But also God, I believe, just wants to meet with each one of us this evening. Now, many of you in the room, you've been Christians maybe a number of years. You've been in many meetings. You've read the Bible. And you've probably heard quite a number of sermons. And we have relationship with God in a number of different ways. Sometimes we call him Lord. And, you know, Lord means he's in charge. He's number one. And, you know, when somebody's Lord, you honor them, kind of revere them, you want to listen to them because they are Lord. And we talk about him having lordship or that place of being number one in our lives. We also, there are many names that we use for God and describe who he is, but he's also the King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And, you know, where there's a king, there's always a kingdom. So we're members or citizens of God's kingdom. And so we have a relationship with God in a way that he's our king. So as well as our Lord, he's number one. He's also our king. He's the one that rules and reigns. He's the one that we honor and everything. But also, the Bible talks about him being our master. And quite often, when you use the word master, we think of a master and servants. And so sometimes we relate to God. He's our master. He's in charge. And we want to respond to whatever his commands are, whatever he wants to say. And so therefore we know that we honor him, we serve him, the one that we serve. Also, we relate to him as Savior. He's our Savior because of what he's done for us, because of his forgiveness, the new life, the hope, whatever that he has done in our lives, we relate as him as our Savior. Now, there's many other ways in which we have relationship with God because of who he is. He's King, he's Lord, he's Master, he's Savior, he's majestic, he's amazing, he's wonderful. However we describe him, that's part of who he is. But I believe first and foremost, God wants us to know him as our Father.
Yes.
And from that relationship with Father, then everything else will flow. If we know him as our Father, then his lordship flows out of relationship. His kingship and his rule flows out of that relationship. Him being our master, us wanting to serve, then flows out of relationship. Because we're not slaves to God, we're servants. But he also calls us sons. And why does he call us sons? Because he's our Father and there's relationship. So first and foremost, I believe that's how God wants us to know him as as our Father. Now, some of you might say, well, I've not had a very good father. My experience wasn't particularly good. Some of you might say, well, actually, I had a great father. I had a great relationship with my dad. And sometimes we can say, well, I find it hard to know God as a father because I didn't either know my own father or my relationship with him wasn't good. I had a bad experience. He wasn't a good role model. Or like for me in my situation, I've had great parents, really good relationship with both my mum and my dad. And so it'd be very easy to say that, well, because you've had a good relationship and a good role model, then it must be easy to know God as your father. Well, whether you've known God, your natural father in a good way or not so good way, or whether you even have known your natural father or not, I don't believe we can say that because of that, then that affects our relationship with who God is as our father. Otherwise, what we're saying is we base some of our relationship with God through the relationship we either have or haven't had with somebody else. So we can easily say, well, because it wasn't good, then I can't know God as a father because I didn't have a good father naturally. And what we're basically saying to God is, God, it's not possible for me to know you in that way because naturally it wasn't good. And what we're then saying is my relationship is affected with you through the experience of my relationship with somebody else. I know for me in my own situation, even though I've had a good father and a good role model, that doesn't replace my relationship with God as my Father. And God as my Father revealing who he is as my Father in terms of God and the relationship that I have with him. And so in the same way, no matter whether you've had a good or a bad experience, God wants to reveal who he is as your Father so that you have relationship with him as a father that's not dictated to by either a good role model or a bad role model, but actually him revealing who he is to you as father so that your relationship is directly with him and not through somebody else or through an experience of somebody else. And so I believe God wants to do some of that this evening. Is that okay? Now in Genesis chapter 3, it speaks about God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God's original intention was to create us as people to have relationship with him. It wasn't that we could do stuff for God or try and be good enough to know God or try and be a better person. God's heart was to create mankind to have relationship with him. And the Bible says that he formed us in his image, like him. And so when he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, he walked with them in perfect harmony, perfect unity. But also, if there's to be a relationship of love, then there must be free will. Because love must always be rooted in the will. I choose to love somebody. I choose to give myself to somebody. Otherwise, it's dictatorial and somebody else is making decisions for you and says that you have to do this, that, or the other. So God gave us free will, knowing that actually a genuine relationship of love is one where we choose to respond to him and he chooses to respond to us, like in any relationship that we have with other people. And so in the cool of the day, I love this, you know, God walked in the garden and wanted to be with Adam and Eve. But yet when he called out, where are you guys? Where are you? They said, we're hiding. And suddenly, you know, God knew at that moment something's wrong. Because he went looking for them, but they weren't there. The amazing thing is God already had a rescue plan. Because God is outside time. He knew that giving man free will, man was going to choose to act independently from God. So he already knew, I've not got a backup plan, but he said, I've got a rescue plan.
Right.
Because when man goes wrong, because of who I am and the relationship I want to have, and I want them to know me as their father, I've got a rescue plan ready to make sure that that which is going to break actually can be healed and restored so that they can live in relationship with me as their father, yes, and them with me as my children, yes, as sons and daughters. That's God's heart for you and I, for any person on the planet. So in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read from the Message version. Is that okay? You know, it's good sometimes to read a different version because it puts it in a different way and it helps us to, wow, oh yeah, I've got so used to reading the version of the Bible that I read, I didn't realize actually that there's something fresh when you read it in another version. It just brings out the meaning maybe in a different way, in a stronger way. So we want to just read from Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3. What I'll do, I'll dip in and out of these few verses, but because in the Message there's no verse numbers as you're going through, I probably won't be able to, for some of it, tell you what verse I mean. Is that okay? So we'll kind of just read it, and I'm sure you'll be able to keep up. And okay, Ephesians 1, verse 3. We're going to read 14 and 15 verses in total. It says here, how blessed is God? Do you know that God is blessed? He must be, because he's God, right? Then it says, and what a blessing he is.
Yes.
So if God is blessed, he must be a blessing.
Yeah.
Then it says, he's the father of our master, Jesus Christ. So straight away, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he's speaking about God being a father, saying he's the father of our master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. I love that. You know, when you're a father or a parent, you want the best for your kids.
Right.
And you want them to experience the best they possibly can of what life is all about in terms of the good aspect of life. And he's saying here that our Father here, or God as Father, takes us to the highest places of blessing. God wants us to know him fully. It's not just being blessed as a person with stuff. The biggest blessing you can ever have in your life is to know God and the fullness of what he's really like. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Wow, don't you love that? Long before he laid earth's foundations, he had you and I in mind. He was thinking about us. I don't know what you do when you go shopping, but when you go looking for something you want to buy, you don't just run into the shop, grab the first thing on the rail, shove it on the counter, pay for it, they put it in the bag. You go out of the shop and then you look in your bag. What did I buy? You know, you think, well, that's crazy. Because you're going to go shopping. You're looking for what you want to buy. And when you find it, you're happy to pay something for it. And sometimes you're willing to pay more for it because it's the thing you really want.
That's it.
You try it on, you make sure it fits, it's the right color, does it look good, and all that kind of stuff. And then you're happy to pay your 20 quid, 50 quid, whatever it is, because you found exactly what you want. And this is the same with God. Before Earth's foundations, he was thinking about you and I, had us in his mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love.
Yes.
To be made whole and holy by his love. Wow. So God's not looking out to give you a hard time. He's not looking out to pick out all the faults and say, well, I told you, you're still not perfect. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, oh, there's another one. You know, God's not out as a father to make us feel bad and to pick out all the little faults and problems, peculiarities. I don't like this. I don't like that. You know, what's a good father like on earth? I know with my kids, there are sometimes I have to have a conversation with them about something and say, hey, mate, can we just have a chat about something? Because I've just noticed recently you just began to be a little bit kind of, you know, offish with one or two things. And when we ask you to do stuff, you just react a little bit. So, you know, what's going on there? And so sometimes, you know, like any good father, God needs to do that. But most of the time, what you're doing as a parent, you're actually encouraging and you're looking for how your kids are developing and you want to help them and encourage them and shape them and so that they actually have their heads up in life, not looking down because you're always on at them about this, that and the other. But you want them to be confident as people. You want them to interact and know how to have a conversation. You teach them manners and how to behave and everything. Why? Because ultimately you know that's going to benefit them massively in their life. And so we're the focus of his love and we're made whole and holy by his love. Then it says, long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. Now, this is where adoption is really powerful.
Right.
In your natural family, you had no choice whatsoever. So your parents are your parents. Your brothers and sisters are your brothers and sisters. You had no choice in the matter. The amazing thing about adoption is somebody chooses somebody.
Yes. Very good.
And so you go, that person is then chosen. But what happens when you choose them and they're adopted? You're taken out of one situation and you're brought into a new family, and everything that that family is now given to that person. They become a full member of that family. So in one sense, they inherit everything that that family is, and they become a full member of that family. And that's exactly what God has done for us. He's taken us out of darkness, or out of being separated from him, out of relationship with him, and adopted us, brought us into his family to receive this highest blessing, the full blessing, the fullness of who he is. So we're freed from all the rubbish here and brought into a totally new life and relationship with God here. Why? Because he's a father and he wants the best for us. We're adopted and we become sons of God, or children of God, and then have full access to the Father. I love that, don't you? Full access to the Father. Then it says, what pleasure he took in planning all of this. Wow. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Wow, what a great way of describing his grace. In the New International Version, it talks about his grace being lavished upon us.
Yes.
And his grace is him giving everything of himself to us. So he's a lavish, gift-giving Father.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know how you perceive God. You know, sometimes if we just relate to God as Lord, then sometimes like, well, God, you're Lord, you're Lord, you're Lord, or you're the King, you know, you're my Master, you're my Savior, you're the Holy One, you're the Majestic One. And God's like, yeah, I am, that's right, I am, but also I'm your Father. And he wants us to be able to draw near, knowing that even though he's holy, he's majestic, and he's the King, he's the Lord, he wants us to approach him as Father. Relationship, intimacy. And from that, he will reveal more of who he is in terms of his rule and reign and his lordship. What he took pleasure in this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavished gift giving. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, of Jesus, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are free people. Free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. What a great way of putting it. All the stuff that we did wrong, that all chalked up, you know, we've done this, that, and the other. God's like, no, I want to wipe the slate clean so that none of that can be held against you. So you can be totally forgiven, totally sorted, brought into relationship with me. So you can live in freedom knowing me, and free from all the penalties and the punishment. But then it says, and not just barely free either, but abundantly free.
Yes.
I love it. He thought of everything, he certainly has, provided for everything we could possibly ever need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all about before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything will be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. So he thought about it all. The amazing thing I think is, or one of them is, about God as my Father is, before the foundations of the earth, he spent time thinking about me.
That's it.
It's like, wow, didn't God have other things to think about? But yet, you know, what does a father do? He thinks about his children. Now, I don't know what some of you guys do as parents, but one of my oldest lads in America, and sometimes at different points in the day, I start thinking about, I wonder what he's doing now. I know sometimes he's asleep because they're 8 or 9 hours behind. But sometimes I'm just thinking, oh, what's he up to today? What's he doing? And then I'll get my little WhatsApp thing out on my phone and I'll just, you know, it's like a text through the internet, so it doesn't cost you anything. And I'll get my little, press it and go, hey, how you doing, mate? What are you getting up to? And normally pretty quick, it's, oh, yeah, I'm just hanging out, gone to the beach. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Jammy Dodger. you know. And or whatever he's doing, oh, we're just out, we're going off to see this person, or we're off visiting this, or whatever we're doing. And why? Because I'm thinking about him. What are you up to? What are you doing? You know, and so we probably communicate more since he's been there than when he was hacking around over here doing things. And because I'm thinking about him. And my wife's doing the same, you know. And before we realise, we're having a three-way conversation. Jane's WhatsApping him, I am, and then he's talking back, and he's, oh, Mum's just WhatsApped me this, that, and the other, and, oh, right, really? So then I contact Jane, oh, you, la, 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 la. Before you know where you are, you've got this three-way thing going on. Why? Because it's about relationship.
Very good.
He's my son, and so, but our relationship now is like really good friends. He's 22, you know, and yes, he's my son, but I don't tell him what to do anymore. He's big enough to make his own decisions. But it's relationship now, you know, which is, really enjoy that, you know, with him. Then, what else to say? It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us.
Come on, Ben.
Had designs on us for glorious living, yeah. For a great life. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. And it's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. Yes. How brilliant is that? This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming. A reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Wow.
Come on.
He's a good father.
Yes.
Just going to move on to Matthew chapter 6, because in these verses here, it talks about the Sermon on the Mount in various Bibles, or Mount of Beatitudes, or whatever. And during this sermon, Jesus talks about God being Father 17 times, which is a lot. In that culture there, that quite a religious culture of that time, God was not portrayed as a father. Many of the religious leaders of the day, it was more about the law and how you acted on the outside to fulfill the law and to be obedient. And many people just thought God was somebody to be obeyed, but not to have relationship with. And what Jesus did when he came into that culture of the day, he understood everything that Paul hadn't written at that point when Jesus was walking on the earth, but Jesus understood all of that and what was going to happen to us if any of us responded to the goodness of God and what it would mean in our lives. And so Jesus came into that religious culture, that religious context, and he began to speak about God as a father, that it was possible to know God and have relationship with God because this is what God intended. So Jesus began to redefine their thinking as to who he was. Now, some of you have probably read, or maybe once or twice or many times, that the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Teach us how to pray." Now, they'd heard many people pray before. They probably even prayed themselves. But they'd never come across somebody who talked to God like, this is real. You're talking to God like this is relationship. And then Jesus began to unpack for these guys, "Okay, guys, I'm going to teach you how to pray. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like all the religious people that love to stand around in the synagogues and on the street corners looking like they're religious, looking like they're connected with God. Don't be like those guys. I tell you the truth, they've received their full reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door," and this probably blew their minds, "pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, when you read about that context and what Jesus was saying, that would blow their minds.
Right.
Going on your own and just talk to him as Father. Wow. Even to use the name of God for them was blasphemy. And so for Jesus to turn up and say, "You're not only using the name of God, but you're actually in relationship with it as your Father. This is who he is. He is Father God," or God the Father, not Godfather, but God the Father. But he says, "Whatever you do in secret will be rewarded." Sometimes I think, well, what did that mean? It's not that he's going to reward you with loads of stuff. But what we see in our lives is the fruit and the evidence of our relationship with God. What is done in secret, we'll see the evidence of it around our lives. So, flowing out of your relationship with God as Father will flow his life through your life to touch and impact other people's lives around you. And so how you know God and whatever revelation you have of him, you will communicate to other people in your everyday lives. Because what's true for you will be seen. And the reward here for me, and my understanding of what the word reward there means in that verse, when you unpack it and look at the Greek, if you like, is reward is the fruit that comes from your life. It's not just rewarding you with stuff, you know, a bit of money or a nice car or anything. That's not what Jesus is talking about there. So get it, go in your room, pray on your own, then you get some nice stuff. That's not what he's talking about. It's spend time with the Father on your own, and you'll be fruitful in a way that you will blow your mind. And will really surprise you. And when you pray, do not be like babbling pagans, for they think they'll be heard for the amount of words that they say. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I love that. How many of you sometimes have dropped hints with God? You know, you've prayed about something, and then the next day, well, I'll just remind him in case he's forgotten. And it's like we nudge God, you know, as if, did he hear me when I, did I say it the right way? Did I communicate? Maybe I should just say it once more, just so that he's got it. And it's like, no, he knows. He knows what's in our hearts, on our, before it's even on our lips. But Jesus said, look, this is how you want to pray. And when Jesus prayed, he lifted his hands. He with expectation. He never bowed his head. You know, to look down, I'm not worthy. That's kind of false humility, I think, sometimes. Now, sometimes we bow down saying, God, you are worthy, because we want to worship him. But actually, when you talk to somebody, you don't sort of bow your head down and talk to them and not look at them. You think, why don't you look me in the eye? Why don't you talk to me? You know, when I talk to my wife, I don't say, Jane. Jane, you know, she's like, Clive, what's up? You know, you only look down when there's something wrong. You know what a dog's like? You know, when you've got a dog and the dog knows it's done something wrong, what does it do? It kind of, the tail's not wagging and it's got its head down, and you're like, okay, Rover, what have you done? You know, and we don't want to be like little dogs with God. You know, when a child runs to its dad, it doesn't run up going, dad, can I have something? Only it's a child only like that if it knows it's done something wrong. But a child comes with expectation. Dad, can I have some pocket money? It's like, oh yeah, I'm the walking wallet. That's right. And but they come with expectation. And that's how Jesus was, knowing Father. I know that you hear me. So there was a confidence there because he knew God as his Father. And so he said to these guys, when you pray, say, Our Father. So start with who he is. Don't start with, oh Lord, or King, or Master, or Savior. Start with Father. But then he says, hallowed be your name, holy. So you're coming to a holy Father. But you're not starting with holy, you're starting with Father. So it's not holy, 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 oh, I'm not worthy. No, it's Father, but Father is holy. But because he's Father, he gives you access to who he is, because it's about relationship. But he wants you to relate to him as a Father, but in his holiness. So if it's about relationship and being in relationship and walking with your Father, he wants you to walk in a holy relationship with him. But it's not based on our holiness, it's based on his.
Come on.
And him doing whatever he needs to and wants to do in our lives. So he's saying, Our Father, hallowed, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he just continues to flow on there and describe what is this relationship with the Father all about. It's intimacy, it's relationship, but it's also to see what is on his heart, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't actually mean give us what we need, the stuff of life. Because Jesus said, when, you know, remember when the disciples came to the well and the woman was at the well and he asked her for a drink and he said, if you ask me for a drink, you know, I could give you living water that will never run dry and you'll never be thirsty again. That's and his disciples came and found him and they brought food, and he said he didn't want any. And he said, I've got food that you know nothing of. You see, that's this kind of food. Give us our daily bread. Father, we want to feed on you, Because you're the bread of life. You are our food. You are our life. So give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive those who sin against us. So Jesus is talking about, how do you walk with this Father? How do you know him? Keep short accounts. Don't hold anything against anybody else. Be quick to forgive. Because he is your daily food and he's the one you want to walk with. But be quick to forgive others. Don't build up resentment. Don't let things build up, because he wants to forgive you and you walk with him. And as you forgive others and walk with him, then you'll walk with others with him together as a body of people. Because some of it's going to explode for these guys in terms of what the church is all about, which is going to happen a bit later on. There's two key things about a father. One is he defends, and one is he provides. I think it's amazing how God is as a father to us. So Jesus is describing the kind of relationship that he has, but it's based on covenant, a covenant relationship. When you get married, you say things to one another, before God and to one another and before your friends and family. And you're basically saying, look, this is going to be for the rest of our lives. You're making covenant. No matter what happens, through thick and thin, good and bad, whatever goes on, we're going to stick together like anything. And that's the covenant that God makes with us. His covenant is, I'll never, ever leave you and never, ever forsake you. Now, that's the kind of relationship that God has with us. So he defends us because he's made covenant with us. I'm amazed that God has never, ever said anything negative about me, to me, or to anybody else. Sometimes he might need to say, Clive, you got a bit of an attitude there, mate. You need to sort it out. But he doesn't go around to everybody else saying, Clive's got a right old attitude about that one, hasn't he? Yeah, he's. I'm fed up with him, and I'm cheesed off with it, and he's, you know, all of that. God doesn't do any of that behind our backs, and he doesn't even turn up one day and said, look, you're an idiot the way you're carrying on. I've talked to you so many times about that. Will you please just get it sorted out? He's not even like that with us. Sometimes he might need to be a bit firm if we're not listening. But he always defends, physically, verbally. He'll always protect. There's some verses we're going to look at the end as we kind of just pray, where it talks about, in terms of him being our defense, or he defends us, is that he's like a hedge of thorns around us, protecting us. In terms of what we're going to look at in number 6, what the verses actually mean. He's like a hedge of thorns around us, protecting us. You know what a mum's like when she gets a phone call from school? Little Johnny's got into trouble. Please would you come in? We need a conversation with you. Now, the mum goes into the school, no matter what little Johnny's done, she's still going to defend him. So you go meet the teacher, he's been up, messing about, up to no good, and all that sort of thing, and the mum goes, yeah, okay. And, you know, a good mum doesn't sit there and go, Johnny, and have a go at him in front of the teacher and clip him round the ear and all of that kind of stuff. And she doesn't say in front of the teacher, yeah, he's a right little toe rag, he's just like that at home, and he's a right little pain in the neck and everything. You know, a good mum's going to listen to the teacher, but a mum's going to be like, okay, I understand that, but he's a good lad, really. Even though there might be some stuff going on in the mum's head, she's going to defend her little lad, you know. Now, when they get home, there might be a conversation. But she's going to defend him to everybody else, in front of everybody else. Why? Because she wants to protect him. Now, when she gets home, it might be, now, what you know, might get told off or whatever. But actually, she's going to defend this kid in front of her. She's not going to, I don't know. I mean, for me personally, I know Jane and I, in our marriage, we made a decision. We would never, ever speak negatively to one another and about each other to anybody else. And with our kids, we've always said we're never going to speak negatively about them to anybody else. Even if there's something going on in their life that might not be good at any moment or some, I don't know, because whatever challenge they may face, but we're not going to speak negatively about them to anybody. Because as soon as you begin to do that, there's a little seed or a morsel of something that you either put into somebody else's mind or heart towards somebody else, and that thing's only going to grow, and then you put a negative sort of thing into somebody else. And God understands that. And as a father, he'll never do that with you or I and put some negative thought in somebody else's. I'm amazed at how God encourages and encourages and encourages and you feel like, "Wow, God, I don't deserve that." And in the process of that, he sometimes picks up, well, he picks up on stuff in our lives. In Matthew chapter 6, he talks about God being our provider, and we read through a whole lot of verses where he talks about if he knows the birds that have fallen out of the trees, or how he clothes the lilies and the flowers of the fields, how much more will he take care of you and I? This amazing creator God who formed, you know, before the earth's foundations were made, he knew you and I. We were on his mind. We were the focus of his love. And yet sometimes we worry about stuff, or we have to nudge God to remind him he's a good father. He knows what's happening in our lives. He knows the needs we might have. He knows what needs to happen in us. Matthew chapter 7, he talks about him being a good father who gives good gifts. In those few verses, Matthew 7, verse 7 onwards, it talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. When we're in prayer, we ask and it will be given. Seeking you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Wow. It's really, it blows your mind sometimes, doesn't it? Because God wants to give good gifts as a father to us as his children. I don't know about you, but it's very easy to live your life on a performance orientated thing with God. Am I good enough? Have I done enough? Am I there yet? Is he pleased with me? Is he happy with me? It doesn't matter what you do in your life, that will never change his love for you. That's amazing. Because he is love. So no matter what you do, however much you read the Bible, however much you pray, however many miracles you might see, however many people you lead to the Lord, however holy you might live your life, none of that will get God to love you more than he does right now. Wow. So don't live under a pressure of performance where I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do the other, I've got to be acceptable, God to love me more. He loves you 100% right now. That doesn't mean we just do whatever we want, because God sometimes might not like something we do, but he still loves you in the same way. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train a child in the way he should go, that when he is old, he will not depart from it. As a parent, you train your kids, you invest in them. Why? So that as they're older, they make great choices and they choose in the right way. So as well as God giving us good gifts, blessing us, he trains us and shapes us, forms us, so that we actually become a blessing to other people, and we begin then to express his nature and character to others in the same way. Now, we want to give a bit of space because it's quarter to seven, and we want to just give a few minutes to just allow God to really minister to us as his children. So I don't know if we can just have Chad up here for a moment. Numbers chapter 6, you don't necessarily need to go there. I'll just read it to you. But I believe God wants to minister to each one of us as his children this evening. Now, some of you are going to receive from him maybe healing. Some of you just, I don't know, you're going through some stuff at the moment, and God just wants to lift off the pressure, wants to lift off some struggles or whatever. But I believe God's going to minister to us where we are this evening, just sitting here. So we don't have to stand necessarily or lift our hands or whatever. But I believe God wants to minister to you as our Father this evening. So let's just close our eyes for a minute. Just want to read out of Numbers chapter 6. There's three verses from 24 to 26 in there. I'm going to read them from the Bible. And then what I'm going to do is then just go through them, but in terms of what the Hebrew actually says when you translate that into English, what it actually means for us. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just ask you that you would really minister to each one of us right now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. He's got good gifts for you. He's a covenant God. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. His face is towards you. He is gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace or total well-being. I believe He just wants to minister to you right now. Yahweh kneels before you, presenting gifts. Yahweh kneels before you, presenting gifts. Maybe that's not how you perceive God, that as a father, that He would kneel before you, presenting gifts. Remember on the last night, before Jesus went to the cross, He went to the upper room with the 12, and He got the bowl and the towel, bowl of water and a towel, and He knelt down and began to wash the disciples' feet. That blew their minds at that moment. Firstly, because they knew by that time that He was the Son of God, that He was the Messiah. And for them, knowing the Word of God, that like they did, for the Son of God to kneel down and wash their feet completely blew every fuse going on in their lives. How can the Son of God kneel before me and wash my feet? Because they were Jews as well, a Jew would never kneel before another Jew and wash his feet. That was the job of a servant. And so Jesus was the Son of God doing it, but He was also a Jew. So the whole thing was just blowing every fuse for them. And Peter said, Lord, you know, this is not good. Why should you wash my feet? And Jesus said that you've already cleaned because of the words that I've spoken to you. Peter wanted, well, wash my head, wash my whole body. He said, no, you're already clean. These verses in Numbers says here, Yahweh kneels before you presenting gifts. We're used to kneeling before God as our Father, or in worship we might kneel down and worship Him and honor Him and glorify Him. We don't think that He would come and kneel before us, but that's what these verses mean. The way He wants to bless us, He kneels before you right now, presenting Himself. Presenting you with gifts. Some of you just need to receive your healing tonight. He's presenting you with gifts of healing. Just relieving your body from pain, from sickness. I believe that somebody's had something wrong with their scalp, and I don't know if it's about losing hair or just their scalp and dry skin or a mixture of the two, but I just believe that God is just relieving you of that irritation and that issue that you've had for a period of time. It's just healing your scalp, so you're not going to have that irritation any longer. You're not going to have hair loss any longer. It's just healing you and ministering you, presenting gifts to you right now. Somebody else, you've got an issue with one of your internal organs. It's not been functioning properly, and you've been taking some medication to try and help clean it through. Cause you some pain and trouble with your digestive system, and so God's just presenting you with gifts right now. He's healing you and just cleaning out, flushing out that organ so it's going to function properly. You need to go and get it checked so they sign you off the medication, but just presenting you with gifts right now. Some of you have had some challenges in family. There's been some things concerning you, and it's like God's just presenting you, ministering to you, to do with your family, saying, it's okay. I've got it under control. I know you've been petitioning me, praying into this. And I've heard you, I know. And I'm responding to your prayer. Because I want your family to come into relationship with me in the same way that you are. I want them to know me as their father as well as you knowing me as your father. So I have that in control. I have that in hand. And what I want you to do is move from requesting and petitioning to thanksgiving now. And begin to live in a place of thanksgiving that I've heard you. Because this is my heart, my will is to reveal who I am to your family. And my word says that if you know what my will is and you ask according to my will, then you know that you have what you ask of me. And I just want to let you know that I've heard you because you've been praying my will. And I want you to know that you have what you've been asking of me. But I want you now just to move into a time of thanksgiving, a season of thanksgiving. And as you thank me, you're going to see some things happen in your family. You're going to see some of them come to know me. You're going to see some of them come back to me because you know they've walked away. And I'm going to bring some reconciliation in your family. And you're going to be amazed at how quickly that happens from this moment as you move into thanksgiving. So you don't need to ask and keep asking anymore, but now just thank me with praise and thanksgiving. And you're going to find as you thank me and praise me over the situation, you're going to find some things unlocking in that there. And you're going to find your relatives and family members, your own children are going to come back to me and know me in a way that you've been longing for quite a period of time. I just want to let you know, it's okay. I'm in charge. I've heard you and I've answered. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've been challenged financially with some things, and you've been finding it hard to make ends meet, and you feel like, I just need to keep asking God and telling God, reminding God. He's saying, I'm your Father. I know. And I've made provision for you. And again, I believe God's saying that you need to move from, in some ways, a place of being fearful and worry into a place of thanksgiving, of praise. Maybe if that's you and as he's kneeling before you, just say, Father, I give you the fears right now. I give you the worry that I've had. But I'm sorry that I haven't trusted you as my Father. I've just looked at you as my provider, sort of saying, God, provide, provide, provide. And he's saying, no, draw near to me. Draw near to me. Don't let those things become your focus. But I already have made provision for you. And I believe as you, again, move into a place of thanksgiving, there's going to be some unlocking of provision and finances and things in your life. Maybe, I don't know, if there's a job related to this as well. You're going to find a new job opening up with that has more pay to it in or a promotion or whatever. Father, I thank you that you know the practicalities of our lives. Father, I thank you that you minister to us right now. He will guard you with a hedge of thorns to protect you. He's around you, protecting you, looking after you. The enemy can't touch you because he's around you, protecting you with a hedge of thorns. Yahweh will illuminate his very being to you, bringing order and beautifying you. He lifts up the whole of his being over you, and he sets in place all you need to be whole and complete. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stand together, shall we? Just stand in his presence. Maybe just lift your hands towards him right now.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.